La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou-glou-glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-dong. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.
Hey, bonjour rugby friends and welcome to a new edition of the French Rugby Connection with moi, Véronique Lindu, and my co-host,
Hooper.
Bill, the crunch is here. I remember so well last year. It wasn't very much a good day in the office for les Anglais, for les roast beef. Do you remember? They got absolutely annihilated. The final score was, I think it was 10 to 53. As you know, a dish is best served cold. So watch out, mes amis français.
Ah, we have to see what new dish is served up tomorrow. But the crunch is always an exciting game. It's always eagerly anticipated by both sets of supporters. There's nothing better for a French crowd than a bœuf anglais saignante, as they say, a good bloody beef. But it's best served with a good sauce and a good glass of red wine. And that's what they're looking for tomorrow.
Fabien Gatier and Steve Worthwick have exactly the same squad. They haven't changed since last week. So, yes, if you got the recipe right, why would you change?
Well, that's right. I mean, the French team unchanged to face England tomorrow night in Lyon, and they've got to be feeling confident after that win in Cardiff. But it wasn't all plain sailing, though, was it? I mean, for 60 minutes, Wales certainly gave them a good game. And there were one or two things that weren't altogether great. A little bit of that try that was scored by Wales, Dyer, when he went through the gap there. They're going to need to tighten up their fringe defence a bit there, France, aren't they? Because they can't afford to do that against England. But when France really got on top, they really nailed Wales into their back in their 22, and they bossed the game in that final 20 minutes, and they got a very good win at the end of the day.
That was beautiful, especially having the youngsters, the new kid on the block, you know. They brought such a breath of fresh air. They had nothing to lose, everything to prove, you know, with the magnificent Nolan Le Garec, is friends call him Nono, from Racing. Absolutely amazing. I think, he's got some big boots to fill with Antoine Dupont not being in the squad. But hey, I would say Antoine, you know, watch this space. And yeah, just to give you some background, you know, we both know that Nolan Le Garec is a Breton. I was reading a really interesting article in L'Équipe this week, summarizing, you know, his full rugby career. But he's got strong pedigree because his father, Goulvin Le Garec, was also a rugby player, which is a bit unusual sport in Brittany, because obviously in Brittany you tend to play football, you know, like in majority of France. And he joined, you know, the academy at the age of 15, 16, Nolan Le Garec, and he was like majority of lots of well-known players. He was quite small, he was quite thin as well, but he had, you know, that vision that of being integrated one day to the Racing team, Racing 92. So yeah, he proved himself. And look at what he has achieved, not only with Racing 90, also last week, because he was voted the player of the week. Player of the week. Who knows? No, player of the day. Absolutely amazing.
He was. I mean, you take that Sisteria that he threw out to Ramos. What audacity.
Indeed.
And pinpoint accuracy as well. Fantastic. But, you know, that off-the-cuff play, that excitement is what epitomises French rugby. That was just fantastic to see. Whether he does the same sort of thing against England, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But we shall Perhaps he'll be told to perhaps tone it down a bit against the Leboeuf.
Yes. Well, to be honest with you, Fabien Gatti and his staff really need to change their strategy last week after the very lackluster start of the Six Nations. They nearly lost against Italy. They got lucky winning in Scotland and in Wales. So they really have to make a big splash. You know, they had to.
Yeah.
Look at that plat de résistance with a mix of young guns, experienced players such as Ficou. For instance, Ficou received loads of criticism over the last few weeks. And finally, it looks like that he woke up because he can see, you know, in the rear mirror that, hey, guys, I'm pushing 30 years old. I forgot how old is he. You know, there's some youngster waiting to take my place. So I better play a bit better.
Yes, and maybe he also fed off the fact that France played with a lot more, it almost seemed like a lot more freedom last weekend, and that would have suited his style of play. The pack was so much more, went so much better. I think the return of Thibaut Flamand and Emmanuel Meafou coming into the second row, that really beefed up that second row and gave them a lot of upfront power that perhaps was a little bit lacking in the previous games. And of course, the return of Greg Aldrich as well. He's such a talisman for France now, especially as there's no longer Antoine Dupont there.
And don't forget, last week as well, Fabien made a massive statement. He did say to all his players, I think there were 33 players, obviously, in Marcoussi, saying, hey, if you want your jersey, you need to, il faut le mouiller. That means, you know, you need to sweat in it. You need to want it. So some competition. So it was a case of saying to his players, to the more experienced players, the seasoned players, hey, don't take for granted that you will be selected for for the next match, which was the Welsh match. Ramos said when he was being interviewed, he said, well, it's a shame we woke up a bit late, you know. But it was good to have some young blood. The young blood definitely brought that level of audacity you mentioned, breath of fresh air, enthusiasm. You know, they had nothing to lose. So absolutely amazing. Let's see how they're going to perform on Saturday when they play against the Rose, les 15 de la Rose, another team which is going from strength to strength.
Well, yes, we'll have to see how they get on against England. England obviously will turn up in Lyon, and as ever, they will be feeling that they can win. They've had a very good tournament on the back of a getting to the semi-finals of the Rugby World Cup. So, yeah, I think there's some players there who certainly going to cause France a few problems. But one player who won't be there is the winger, Emmanuel Feyi-Wabuso, who played last week against Ireland. But, of course, he ruled himself out because he self-diagnosed that he was suffering with concussion.
Oh, wow. Okay. But I have to applaud the success of the team last week. They were absolutely tremendous, especially Marcus Mess in scoring that drop goal. Wow, what a success. Because they were written off, basically. You know, everybody thought that Ireland, it would have been like a walk in a park for the Irish.
Certainly was a big wake-up call for Ireland, wasn't it? I don't think they expected to be run so close by England, and in the end, they ended up losing the game. So it's going to be very interesting against Scotland in Dublin on Sunday, on Saturday rather. Ireland are certainly going to want to look to put matters right in front of their own fans, and Scotland will be turning up, and they'll be trying to play for a triple crown. So it's going to be a very interesting battle in Dublin. But I think on the face of it, Ireland will probably edge it fairly convincingly.
What I find, you know, if we go back to the squad of the English team is, you know, they've got some really seasoned players, you know, pushing 30 or even so for Danny Keller last week. You know, he's 38 years old. Wow, you know, he's like a great grandfather as a full rugby man. But you know, if you look at the pack, you know, Marler's got 91 selection, Ben Cole 110 selection, and Jamie George 88 selection. You know, so they are very much in the 30, so I wonder how they're going to fare against the French team. We've got a heavy pack.
It's going to be very attritional up front, isn't it? I mean, obviously, also for England, Ben Earl has been playing absolutely fantastic all tournament, and he really has been, for me, the standout player for England in this campaign. But it's going to be the benches, I think, that's going to make a big difference, because there'll be that time in the game, in the match, when both sides are going to bring on fresh players. And it's a question of which bench will bring the most to the game. So it's going to be interesting. I don't think we're going to see a similar scoreline to what we saw at Twickenham last season. That isn't going to happen for a while, I don't think. But it's going to be I think it'll be a close game, but I still fancy France on home soil to beat England. I think a scoreline of 25-17, that sort of order.
I think it's going to be a very fast game, very, very physical, tough. You know, it's not called crunch
It's
for
not called crunch for
the
nothing, and it won't be pretty at times.
France needs to win, and England needs to win as well because they've got a score to prove. So for France, since they've been under the tenure of Fabien Galthié, they finished three times as a second. They won the Grand Chelem, of course, in 2022. This time round, you know, if they lose, that would mean that they will finish in the fourth place, which is unheard of.
Yeah, and that would be very much a great disappointment for France to finish so low down in a championship which they really set out at the beginning hoping to win, especially with the fact that they had Ireland's first game at home in Marseille. And of course, it all unraveled that night. But I think if they can beat England on Saturday in Lyon, then that will sort of it won't be a perfect tournament, but they'll end up finishing on a high, and that's probably what they want from this tournament now.
And Fabien Galthié in his press conference, you know, yesterday, did say, ça va taper fort. It's going to
Oh,
be a physical game.
it's going to be extremely physical. As you say, it's going to be the crunch, and it will be a crunch in every sense of the word. And it will be uncompromising. So, yes, it's going to be a very, very physically draining game. And
You know, they changed their style of play, the English team. You may have noticed.
yes, they have sort of altered their style of play to a certain degree. I think that may well be down to perhaps not having Owen Farrell in the squad. George Ford has been at 10, and it's an interesting combination they've got there at half back with Mitchell and Ford. And of course, you've got the Maverick Marcus Smith to come on at any point, and as you can see, what he did against Ireland in that dying second of the game, he can just pop up and drop a goal and turn the game. So, yeah, there's a lot to look at in this English team. George Furbank is at fullback is certainly catching the eye as well. So Ollie Lawrence in midfield. So some good backs and a pretty decent set of forwards, especially the English back row, I think is quite formidable.
I mentioned last time, they've got a new coach from South Africa, Felix Jones. So he's bringing them, you know, new ideas, new style of new ways of playing.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously brought some new tactics to the squad and some perhaps a slightly different style of playing. So, yeah, I mean, that's always the case when you bring in a new coaching staff. I mean, to a certain degree, we've seen that with France this season with the new backroom staff that they've brought in since the last World Cup. So, yes, there are going to be changes. As you say, I think both teams are really at the moment, you would say they're both work in progress. They're basically trying to find their feet at international level.
Your prediction. So you were saying 20 to win by
25-17 to France. I think that's my gut feeling for tomorrow night. Whether it's right or wrong, we'll have to wait and see.
You know what? From what I've seen in the last week, I'm going to give more credit to the English team, to be perfectly honest, because they came full of they surprised me. I have to say, in a good sense of way. Because obviously there are lots of Saracen players still, like Ben Earl, who has been really phenomenal throughout this tournament, and Jamie George as well is. But I'm not so sure about
George Ford.
Yeah, I'm very surprised that he's starting, but it might be his last chance, because he has made a few mistakes over the last few games. You know, really important points that he missed. So you saw the impact of Marcus Smith last week when he came from the bench. He really hit the ground running. So we'll see. So 25-17, I would say, for France, with the youngster that we have, I would say maybe 32-28. Come on, something close. It's going to be a tight game, I think.
Yes, I think we're both going to agree it's going to be a tight game. Yeah, that's no two ways about it. So we'll just have to wait and see. Whoever's got the right headset on the day will win.
Yes, but we got the crowd and, you know, we play at home. So logically, you know, we've got that home advantage with a new revamped team as well. Very different from the game we played against Ireland during the first weekend in Marseille. This time, you know, we've got some new blood on board, and it feels good. It feels good, and I've got my smile back on my face after seeing the team win last week. C'était bon pour le moral, as we say in French. It was good for the morale, that's for sure.
Oh, it certainly was good for the morale, absolutely. And like I said earlier on, France against England in the gastronomic capital of France, which is Lyon. So let's hope they serve us up a feast.
And if you happen to go to Lyon, they've got some little restaurants in the old town called Les Bouchons, and in which you are being served traditional gastronomy. So a very, very nice place and a great stadium, Bill, because your mother was French and your father was English. So you're in between. So I'm going to ask you who would you like in your heart? Who would you like to win? Come on. Be honest with me, mate.
I have always, ever since I was about 14 or 15, I've always supported Les Bleus. So I'm not going to change the habit of 50-odd years. So I shall be supporting France tomorrow.
And I'm very pleased over your answer. I'm glad you passed the test, Bill. We can speak again next week.
Not a problem.
So what's been happening in the top 14, Bill?
Well, it was an interesting weekend last weekend because the top two sides both lost, rather surprisingly.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, exactly. Stade Français ended up losing at La Rochelle 23-3, which has seen La Rochelle shoot up the table now. They're up to third place. And Toulouse, surprisingly, many would say, lost at Perpignan 27-17. So that was a win that keeps helps Perpignan move away from the foot of the table. There's now a 10-point gap between themselves and Oyonnax at the bottom. Oyonnax, although they had a good draw against Clermont. I think, if I recall correctly, I did say that I thought that could be a very interesting game last week between Clermont and Oyonnax. And so it proved, 15-all draw. So our friend Monsieur Oyos was obviously not very happy with that result.
Another time, my goodness. Oh, dear, dear. It doesn't look very good for yours. So what's the current standing very quickly, Bill?
Well, Toulouse and Stade Français are still top on 55. And then come La Rochelle and Union Bordeaux-Bègles on 45. Just a point behind three clubs, Castres, Racing and Pau. Then a little bit of a gap to Toulon on 41, Bayonne on 39, Clermont and Lyon on 38, Montpellier 37. Again, a nice win for Montpellier when they beat Bordeaux-Bègles. Perpignan 35, and then bottom of the table, Oyonnax on 25.
Interesting. Regarding French rugby, and it looks like that Montpellier, talking about Montpellier, Bill, they would like to have Manu Dilagé to join their squad. Manu Dilagé was 32 years old, so close to retirement, got selected 59 times to play for England. So I would say, watch this space. I wouldn't be surprised at all that you might fancy a change from Manchester to Montpellier in the south of France. What's not to like to be a player in Montpellier?
Well, it certainly makes a change from all the rain in Manchester, won't it?
Exactly, exactly. He's back training with his teammate in Toulouse. So very good news indeed.
Yes, I mean, hopefully he's going to be able to feature soon back in the Toulouse side. I would think he's probably got his eye on perhaps making the playoff matches for the Champions Cup, but we'll have to see how he progresses on his comeback.
Indeed, and he's hoping to play during the Champions Cup against Racing on the 7th of April. So that is his wish. So we'll see whether his managers, agree. We talked about Colisi a few weeks ago. He got operated on the finger that he injured. So he's got 4 weeks until we see him on the pitch. So tough one for Racing 92, not good.
No, so that, as you said, that's obviously going to make it very doubtful that he'll be available for that playoff match against Toulouse in the Champions Cup. So that'll be a big loss for Racing, but... That's a great game to look forward to lose against Racing.
So, Bill, here we are, the end of the Six Nations. The question is, who is going to win the title? So, obviously, no teams will win the Schlem this year. Courtesy of the English, but from a point perspective, there are a few teams that could win the Six Nations this year.
Well, yes, they could indeed. I think when you look at it, it's very hard to look beyond Ireland, isn't it, really? They've really got it in their own hands. If they can beat Scotland, though, then the title's theirs. Although, as I said earlier, Scotland have got something to play for. They've got a triple crown to play for, so they aren't going to go to Dublin and lie down. And England too, they could have their say. I think I said, I think this game against France in Lyon, France are going to want to finish on a high. I can see France winning that one. And that really just leaves the final game in Cardiff between Wales and Italy. And I've just got a feeling that I think that Italy can again repeat the win of 2 years ago in Cardiff. I just get that feeling.
Imagine Wales getting the wooden spoon. Wow, that would be a big shock to the system.
It would be a big shock. And of course, tomorrow it's the final game, international match with George North as well, which is obviously he's been such a great servant for Welsh rugby. So yeah, he would want to go out on a high.
Yes, but I have to say, I was so pleased. I was over the moon to see Italy pick up their first win in the last 11 years. So I was so, so excited for them. And it was great to see the young Michael Leiner's son, I forgot his name, scoring his first try, wearing the Italian jersey. So,
it was a great occasion in Rome, and great to see the stadium full.
On that note, au revoir.
La pendule fait tic-tac, tic-tic. Les oiseaux du lac pic-pac, pic-pic. Glou-glou-glou font tous les dindons. Et la jolie cloche ding-ding-don. Mais boum, quand notre cœur fait boum, tout avec lui dit boum. Et c'est l'amour qui s'éveille.